Hello and welcome to the Stooshy, the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media. My name is Paul Malik. I'm your host today for what will be a special end of term quiz episode. But first, we've got a bit of news to catch up on. I'm sure you all spat at your cornflakes this morning while reading through your copy of The Sun, or your digital edition, if you're that way inclined, when you saw the pictures of none other than the UK government's health secretary, Matt Hancock, embraced with someone other than his wife. Dan, you're our Westminster correspondent. Unfortunately, I think you're going to be the one to talk us through this. Tell us what has got tongues wagging in Westminster this morning.
Well, it's this bombshell front page that landed early hours this morning. As I say, I had to forego my breakfast. Certainly seeing these images of, I think the way Radio 4 put it was an embrace. That's being very BBC and kind with it. But I mean, it's a bit of a grubby picture, to be honest. And, you know, who knows how this is going to play out in the next couple of days. I mean, we've had numerous things this year involving Matt Hancock, not least from Dominic Cummings sharing text messages from the Prime Minister, in which it was appeared to say that Mr. Hancock was completely hopeless.
Useless, I believe he said.
Yeah. I mean, you would say, you know, in previous times that might result in a resignation on the day. But, you know, we live in the, you know, post-Barnard Castle era where kind of post-truth, you know, does it really matter? I mean, I don't really know how this is going to play out. I imagine they'll try and style it out, to be honest.
I mean, it's not like Boris Johnson has a leg to stand on, is it, when it comes to this sort of thing? Adele, you had the misfortune of catching that on the early shift this morning. What were your first reactions to it?
A bit like I hadn't had my breakfast yet, so I took a couple of hours before I decided to have any. But no, it's all just a bit, as Dan said, grubby. It's you know, the images which appear to show Mr. Hancock and his aide are in the Department of Health, and it's just allegedly in the Department of Health, and it's just a bit strange to think of that happening in a workplace.
And Andy, does this feel like one of the old school kiss and tells?
Yeah, it's a proper sting, isn't it? I mean,
it's like the good old days, pre-internet.
Pre-internet, yeah. It's got a touch of the sort of the news of the world about it. And, you know, we can, down the line, people will start talking about, well, how did this picture actually get from A to B and all the other stuff? But yeah, there's a lot to read into this so far, not least because of the masses of complications that the Prime Minister and the UK government are already in with all the other stuff to do with lobbying and aids and money going from one place to another and all the complicated personal lives as well. So yeah, I mean, you take your pick on where to start on this one.
And it's not the only scandal we've had from the Conservatives this week. Derek, you've been on your very own Twitter hunt, unmasking Lady Whistledown. That's, of course, the councillor who was put in place to head up Angus Council's anti-bullying policy, who was found, of course, to be a Twitter troll. Derek, talk us through your methods and try and unravel some of the madness that is a councillor using a nom de plume to abuse other people.
Well, methods are top secret, of course. But this is Derek Wan, who's been unmasked as Lady Whistledown, which was it's now been deleted, a troll account on Twitter, an anti-SNP troll account that kind of took aim at leading female politicians, their appearance, also sending out some quite nasty tweets directed at SNP activists and local politicians. Mr. Wan repeatedly denied that it was him, despite the account actually tweeted out a link to the Angus Council website to a press release where only he was commenting with the caption, "My comments." That, I think, pointed social media users towards him. And then a bit of sleuth work, I think, from a number of people put it together. And he finally admitted it last night that, yes, in fact, it is him. The Scottish Conservatives are now investigating, but I think it's going to cause major problems for the administration on Angus Council. We still need to see how the council leader is going to react. He's not responded to requests for comment yet, but there is, you know, the balance of power is very, very, a very small margin on Angus Council, so we'll need to see how that all works out for them.
No, I'm not saying that this is the case. But it does seem awful suspicious that that picture of Matt Hancock was released on the morning that the Derek Wan story was going to break. could Conservative, could CCHQ have released, you know, the Matt Hancock picture to take a bit of the edge off Derek Wan so they could keep power in Angus Council? Who knows? But what I do know is that we have the return of Stoosh of the Week today, and it's going to be a double dunter. So to Matt Hancock and Councillor Derek Wan, or Lady Whistledown if you'd rather, you are this week's Stoosh of the Week.
Stoosh of the Week.
Right, as you can probably tell, we've all got the end of term gigglies, which means only one thing. It is time for the first ever Stooshy end of term quiz.
It's the end of Parliament quiz. It's the end of Parliament quiz.
The DC Thompson chorus.
This show just gets more and more professional every week. That's great. No, I take it the cast list on that song, Producer Chris, will remain anonymous for all time. Is
absolutely,
that right?
Yeah. As long as the payments keep coming to me, I will protect all my sources.
I think surely our listeners are invited to write in and guess.
A special Stooshy mug for anybody who correctly identifies anybody on that jingle.
Right, well, without further ado, I believe that we should crack on. Now, this is a quiz in the same sense that most quizzes are, which are incredibly boring and long. I'm going to ask some questions. The lovely panel, which I should have introduced you earlier, actually, but, you know, it's the big one today. So we have Andy Phillip, we have Dana Donoghue, we have Adele Merson, and we have Derek Healy joining us this week. Producer Chris will also be popping in and out to make sure that we stay on time and on subject. The format will be, I will ask questions, the panel will answer, and then I will give the right answer, and they'll get a ding or a dong, depending on whether or not they're right or wrong. I will take a note, and my decision is final, I should say. Anyone has any complaints about any of the questions, feel free to email me. My address is on Twitter, but you all know that already because of all the correspondence we already get. Right, let's crack on. Question one. Are we all ready?
Yes.
Fingers on proverbial buzzers, which, I mean, Chris has got his hand just sort of smudged over the keyboard. Question one. Prime Minister Boris Johnson spent most of the last year saying wild horses wouldn't keep him away from Scotland, even though he only came up once in the election year. But the former Telegraph, that's Daily Evening, columnist has only popped up four times, and on his last proper trip, which means his last proper trip to the patch that we all cover, which is northeast of Scotland, he took a boat across to Orkney. But what did he catch while he was there? Is the answer A, crabs, B, herring, or C, a cold? We'll start with Dan. What did Boris Johnson catch on his trip to Orkney?
I think that image is seared in my mind of him holding a poor crab aloft like the World Cup. So I think I'm going to go for crabs.
And Derek, what do you believe Boris Johnson caught on his last trip to the North East?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident it's crabs as well. As Dan says, that picture is seared in my mind as well. I think crabs.
Adele?
Crabs. Do you want me to elaborate? I feel weird saying fine. Someone caught crabs. And, yeah.
And Andy?
Boris Johnson caught crabs.
Come on, guys. This is a family show.
Yep. Full marks across the board.
Yeah, but he caught crabs. Like, we can't argue with fact. We can't argue with fact. Of course, UK fishermen land more herring than any other type of fish. But they were, of course, left reeling after the Brexit agreement saw them dump tons of squandered catch on the Prime Minister's doorstep just after Brexit was sorted. Mr. Johnson also caught more than a cold last summer after he contracted COVID-19 and nearly died. There's nothing funny about that. Boris Johnson has had to deny calling his own secretary fucking useless, as we described earlier. I wrote this part before the pictures were out this morning, so if it's a bit old, I do apologise. After leaks from the Rose Garden defiler Dominic Cummings showed everyone the text messages between the two, how much of an impact do you think this will have in the end on the PM? Is it a bubble story, or should he be really worried about what Dominic Cummings has in his arsenal and is still ready to unload?
Is this a quiz question, or is this analysis?
No. This is a bit of banter, a bit of you know.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I mean, I think to be honest with you, they already kind of styled it out over the whole Cummins stuff. He was quickly kind of tossed aside after he left Number 10. That's Dominic Cummins. I mean, despite the fact that, you know, ministers fell over themselves to defend him last year, So that was kind of quickly forgotten about. I mean, again, with this story that we've spoken about today, I just don't know. I just can't see it. I can't really see it translating into a sacking or resignation. I just think this government resists those calls. As has been demonstrated over the last year, I think.
Excellent. Okay, so that's a point for Dan for understanding
your question.
Point for Dan for doing his job well. Good job, Dan.
Question two. Alison Johnson was named presiding officer of the sixth session of the Scottish Parliament following the election in May. She is only the second woman to hold the position, following in the footsteps of which Mark Inch lady? Adele, do you know the answer to this one?
No, I don't.
Oh, a big cross next to Adele's name already. Derek?
Is it Tricia Marrick?
Oh.
Could be. Andy?
I believe it's Tricia Marrick.
And Dan, I know this isn't your patch, but you know, you're good at general knowledge. The First Lady presiding officer. Women presiding officer.
Is it a Wishart? Someone Wishart? That's what I want to say.
Yeah, let's get those final answers then. Dan, you said Wishart.
Someone Wishart. I apologise to whoever that is. But no.
Andy?
Big cross.
Tricia Marwick.
And Derek?
I'm going to say Tricia Marwick as well. Mainly because I just heard that tone going after Andy said it.
You said that first. You said it before Andy said it.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
That's true.
And Adele, the first historic first woman.
Am I meant to just repeat? I didn't know who it was, but now I remember because everyone else.
Yeah, I've noticed a flaw.
That's
in
why we get them to say their answers first, Paul, before we start apportioning points.
So I'll just repeat that I've totally forgotten who it was. I don't know who it is.
Yeah. I mean, you get across anyway, but it's fine. If you say it now, then that's like retention, isn't it? The answer, of course, is Tricia Marwick. Ms. Johnson is also the first Green MSP to hold the position, and having renounced her party affiliation, is also likely to be the first Green to say they'll not vote how the SNP tells them to and mean it. Question three. Since Ruth Davidson announced she was stepping down as party leader all the way back in 2019, how many MSPs have the Scottish Conservatives have go up against the First Minister? Derek, how many people have represented the Tories as leader of the party since Ruth Davidson stepped down?
Okay. So ask me that question again.
How many MSPs have the Scottish Conservatives have stand as their leader up against the First Minister in Holyrood since Ruth Davidson stood down?
Okay. I'm going to say two.
Okay. Andy?
Well, it was Jackson, Carlaw, and then Douglas Ross. So, yeah, two.
Adele?
I'm wondering if this is a trick question, but it is two, as far as I know, because Douglas Ross wasn't initially an MSP, but he has since stood up in Parliament, so I will stick with two.
Did Ruth Davidson not stand in for herself afterwards?
I was just thinking that. Yeah. Does that count?
There's a trick here somewhere.
There's a trick.
You've nicked my thunder there, Andy.
Sorry.
Yeah. So it was Jackson won it, and then he got peddled, and then Ruth came back in, and then she had it until Douglas took over, did he? And so I'm going to say three. Go on.
Okay, so I think we've only got one vote for three there. So let's give, for those who said two, those who said three, Dan.
Oh, outrageous.
Gets in.
But that's only according to Paul. So Paul, give us your reasoning.
So after Ruth Davidson stepped down, Jackson Carlaw took over. But then he lasted 6 months. So Ruth Davidson replaced Jackson Carlaw, who replaced Ruth Davidson. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Douglas Ross has taken up the mantle.
Did I not rescue myself there?
Three MSPs.
I rescued myself before that.
Too late, mate. Too late. You'd locked in.
Oh. Two. First answers only. Well, I think the listeners will have heard me thinking aloud and working out, I'm sure.
Court of public opinion.
I mean, it was a dirty question.
It was tricksy.
It was, but I mean, Ruth Davidson, she has replaced herself.
It's a skill.
I'm sure there's been an SNP would say something else. We've got a bonus. Meow. Because I forgot to ask Chris for a bonus number button. So that's me doing the sound effect. Mr. Ross has been.
No one would have told. We know what to tell.
Thanks, Derek. Just cut me down this sentence. Right. Everyone apart from Derek, bonus question. Mr. Ross has been made to repeatedly apologise to the travelling community of Scotland after further derogatory comments were unearthed on his views regarding sites and camps. But which political role did Mr. Ross hold when he made the comments back in 2013? Now, this should be easier for one of you than it is the rest, but it's good common knowledge. It's good to know where your politicians have come from. Let's start with Derek. What position did Douglas Ross hold when he made his first public derogatory comments about gypsy travellers?
I believe he was a councillor at the time.
Councillor, okay. Andy?
He was a Murray councillor.
Dan?
Yeah, what Andy said.
And Adele?
I have a more precise. I think he was the chair of the planning committee at Murray Council when he made the remarks.
Ooh. I think sure a point taken off for showing off. Surely. Just
Adele is actually the only one that's going to get a point because that's what I have written in front of me. Oh. He was the chair or the convener of planning. So well done, Adele. I mean, obviously you were the council reporter at the time, I imagine.
No, I didn't cover Murray, to be fair.
Did you not?
No, I just did Aberdeen and Shire. But I'm a bit of a nerd for local government. So.
The only true government is local government, of course. So that is why we've included it in our politics chat. Andy, a bit of question banter. Douglas Ross is a linesman and should be used to a bit of stick. I don't know about you, but I've noticed he seems to get quite upset quite quickly when he's in the chamber and has done also when he's in the Commons as well during the Scottish Affairs Committee. Is this a result of his being quite young and experienced, or is he in any real danger of undermining his position as party leader when he goes on one of his wee outbursts?
Yeah, I know what you mean. He can react very quickly. I don't know if that's he's used to being listened to quickly, you know, holding a card up on the football pitch. But even yesterday at FMQs in Holyrood, he started off with a sort of thanks to all the teachers, you know, with no help from the government, and Nicola Sturgeon, you know, straight back in saying, like, calling him, accusing him of being snarky and stuff. And he does leap quite quickly to being angry, or just I don't know if it's perhaps a persona that he thinks works with supporters or not, but he can come across as a little bit thin-skinned. Think he wants to have the power to be able to just send off his opponent, but he ends up getting a little bit hot under the collar, and he reacts like a bit of a red mist, and it makes people forget what the point he is trying to land, and it doesn't work for him very well when that happens, I would say.
Interesting. It is interesting. Question four.
I love that I got a point for my analysis, but Andy
did you get a point for your analysis? Oh, I do apologize, Andy. Yeah, well, you have a point for your analysis as well, Andy. There you go. Sorry. And Adele got a bonus point for knowing he was convener of planning.
So far, according to my score sheet, Dan and Andy both have 3 points. Derek and Adele are on 2 points each.
Oh, yep, that's correct. Also, well counted, Chris. Question four. Deputy First Minister John Swinney apologised twice to the country's young people in the space of 12 months while Education Secretary since the outbreak of the coronavirus after overseeing not one but two debacles with the exams. But what other two major political events did Teflon John not only fight but win in Holyrood last year? Dan, another Holyrood-loaded question. But I'm sure you know the answer.
I'm vacant here. Oh, I've gone after pass, you know. I'm not sure.
Derek?
He'd survived two attempts to have a vote of no confidence in him.
Andy?
That would be my answer.
Yeah, there was two votes of no confidence or attempts anyway. And it wasn't just about the schools, it was legal advice. We're talking Salmond Inquiry.
And Adele.
I was just going to say, apart from the exams, it'd be the whether to release the legal advice he faced. At least one vote of no confidence.
Correct.
Points for Derek, Andy and Adele in that.
Yes.
Well done, guys. Mr. Swinney faced a vote of no confidence in Parliament in his old position as Education Secretary, with the Tories, Labour and the Liberal Democrats all accusing the Perth North MSP of creating an exam result system which unfortunately fairly penalised pupils at schools which had historically not performed so well. That was last year's debacle. He faced another in March this year as the minister in charge of liaising with the Committee on the Scottish Government Handling of Harassment Complaints. Mr Swinney twice refused to publish legal advice requested by the committee and Parliament. But on both occasions, the Scottish Greens supported Mr Swinney, and the party is now being invited to form a coalition with the SNP this session. So think of that what you will. Derek, you've tussled with the best of them, Mr. Swinney included. He survived your Yammer scandal story, which you broke years ago in Her Majesty's Courier, and two no-confidence votes. But do you think he'll see out the full session as Deputy First Minister?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think he's well-trusted by Nicola Sturgeon. Yeah, I mean, I looked a bit rocky for him as Education Secretary at some points, with those kind of two debacles that he was involved in. But I think it says a lot that he's been moved on to this COVID recovery role, which has been kind of framed as being quite an important role for the government. It's also a bit of a kind of enforcer role and brings in lots of different areas as well, kind of under his brief. So he's clearly still got an important role there. So unless there's some other major debacle coming down the line, which there could always be, I think I would imagine at this stage, certainly, it looks likely to do all right. I'm sure he's hoping.
Two no confidence votes. That's unheard of, isn't it? To go through so many.
It's quite something. Yeah, there was definitely a period there where it looked very rocky, didn't it? We need to wait and see whether there's similar stuff coming down the road.
Great stuff. Okay, question five. SNP MSP Hamza Yousaf has a bit of a reputation for occasionally putting his foot in it. For example, driving without insurance while Transport Minister, or denying that the police estate was crumbling a mere day before the Broughty Ferry police station roof literally collapsed in on itself. But what did the newly appointed Health Secretary have his knuckles wrapped for just weeks into his new position? What has Hamza done most recently? Adele.
Since he got the job?
Yeah.
It's on the tip of it. Something to do with Rangers?
Oh, do you know what? That's a good one, but I haven't actually put that in.
that's a different answer than the one I was going to say, but yeah, that's also correct.
Yeah. Could I get a half point? I can't think what the other one is.
We'll see.
You just corrected the quizmaster.
Derek, what do you think?
Well, I was going to say he spoke about hospitalisations involving children. But he got it slightly wrong because he was talking about there being an increase in children being hospitalised because of COVID, where actually there was an increase in the number of children in hospital who have COVID, which doesn't necessarily mean they're hospitalised because they got really sick with the virus. They might have been hospitalised because they broke their arm and then caught COVID while they're in hospital. So he was accused of misrepresenting the situation.
Dan, what do you think?
I didn't know it in anywhere near that detail. I mean, I was going to say data. I just remember there was something to do with COVID data. I didn't really remember it in that detail. So I don't know if that's correct or with half a point, maybe. I don't know.
And Andy?
Yeah, I mean, Derek had the detail. But there was the government spent like 24 hours not really trying to clear up that misunderstanding, if that's what it was. It's kind of classic. Nicola Sturgeon had to come and sort of explain it all away again a day after. But essentially, he caused undue alarm, is what he was accused of for that.
Should we say points across the board, Paul?
Points across the board. Adele, do you know what? Nobody likes to stand up to me, Adele, but you stood up to me there, so I'm going to give you half a point for respect.
Is that an extra point as well as the right answer?
No, she didn't. Yes. You didn't have the right answer.
You had the opponent.
Well, like the Rangers stuff. Yeah, he did. I forgot.
I think if you're giving Adele a standing up to you bonus point, she also deserves a point for giving you a correct answer that you hadn't thought of.
Yes,
true.
I agree.
Okay. Dan gets half a point for saying the word data.
I've lost a point. I've lost half a point.
No. Well. I'm resting control from the means of production here. So I've got 5 points each for Derek, Andy and Adele, and Dan is currently trailing on 4.
I've only got 3.5 for Adele. 1, 2, 3, 5 for Andy. 1, 2.
I'm not having any trouble with your half point nonsense, Malik.
Right. Okay. Well. Okay. Adele, a full stand up to the bully point. There you go. just like Mr. Yusuf stood up to the mighty Rangers. And Dan, you can. Oh, do you know what? Points all round. Well done, Data and Rangers. That's right. The UK Statistics Authority rebuked Mr. Yusuf after he claimed increasing numbers of children were in hospital because of COVID, which was, and I quote, inaccurate. The stats watchdog told the SNP government his claims were inaccurately presented, and that as a minister he should be better briefed. Adele, you pointed out there that Mr. Yusuf made a bit of a fluff of it with Rangers tweets. Do you think like Matt Hancock and John Swinney going through two votes of no confidence that politicians are kind of indestructible at the moment? They can't seem to get sacked, can they?
Yeah, we're in a bit of a strange situation where things that in, you know, years back would have happened, would have resulted in serious things happening, such as ministers being forced to stand down from their position in government or quitting entirely. I don't know entirely what to put that down to exactly, but we're living in quite a strange era where the most kind of incredible things can happen, and yet our politicians, as you say, you know, seem like Teflon. It doesn't seem to particularly damage them. I mean, I guess support down south seems so entrenched for, you know, so positive for the Conservatives, and then up here we saw with like the Samud inquiry and things that nothing really did damage Nicola Sturgeon's popularity. So it almost just seems like everyone's in their trenches, and nothing can really change the situation, albeit maybe a gigantic scandal might, but so far nothing really has.
Yeah, it's an odd one, isn't it? But we can keep trying as journalists. Question 6. East Lothian defector Kenny McCaskill decided to see out Lockdown 2 from the comfort of his Bampshire holiday home, which we find out about after he was spotted by a loyal Press and Journal reader hiking in the Highlands. Not in the Highlands, the Speyside. Sorry, I do apologise, PG readers. I am a simple city dweller. But how many miles there and back is it between his constituency office in Dunbar and his COVID lodgings on Speyside? We'll go for multiple choice again. Is it A, 500? Is it B, 170? Or C, 340? I can read these out again when I come to you, don't worry. Andy, how far are you? I mean, you're a bit of a cheat this because you actually live in East Lothian, don't you?
Yep.
How many round miles is it between East Lothian and your bolt hole in Speyside?
Well, when I'm going between my multiple holiday homes, this is a multiple choice. What was the middle one?
170. But the question is, how many miles there and back is it between Dunbar and Speyside?
Okay, well,
according to Google Maps, I should say, I've not actually gone out and trundle wheeled the entire length.
I reckon, well, from there and back, it's, yeah, we're about high up in the 360, what, there and back? Getting on for 400 there and back.
Okay, but I mean, I did give three very specific numbers. It's one of them. A 500, B 170, or C 340.
He's standing up to the quizmaster. He doesn't agree with
that. So I thought you gave me multiple choice, then you asked a slightly different question. So those are the answers for the there and back. Is that what you're saying?
One of them is the correct answer. Which one?
Yes, I know.
It's not just what he's saying, Andy. It's what he said.
Because Mr. McCaskill, he had to drive from Speyside down to Dunbar to open up his constituency office, take a few photos to pretend that he was still in East Lothian, and then he drove back. But he was rumbled walking his dog. But how many miles there and back? How many miles is that return journey?
I didn't anticipate this question being the complicated one.
Yeah. Well,
so there, A 500, B 170, or C 340?
340.
Phew, we got there in the end.
Well, you see, it was confusing because it sounded like you were going to do it one way and then you
listen back to this recording, Philip. You'll hear, Paul was perfectly clear. The quizmaster was within his rights to smack you down there.
Fair dues. Well, C.
A one-way ticket to disqualification. Adele, what do you think the answer is?
Yes, it's definitely 340. Confident.
I mean, she could have walked it in this time and checked.
Derek? So you nearly caught me out, because I remember the headline being 170, but that, I think, was just one way. So it's 340. So yeah, that would be my answer.
And Dan?
I can tell you how long it takes to get from Bermondsey to Westminster, but I cannot for the life of me think of this one. So Adele has inspired confidence with her answer, so I'm going for C as well.
Correcto mundo. Of course, it's 170 miles one way, or 340 both, of which you could translate to 500 kilometres, which I tried to do, but we are in the newspaper business and kilometres are still far too modern, so we went with miles instead. 340-mile round trip, though, that's quite the journey. Dan, you said that you go from Bermondsey to Westminster. How far is that?
Oh, that in mileage, I'm not sure. In tube journeys, it's two changes in about 20 minutes.
Two changes in 20 minutes. That sounds like a proper imperial measurement. I do like that. Question 7. Former First Minister Alex Salmond announced his new party, the ALBA Party. Am I saying that right? ALBA Party. Just before the election, claiming that they would give the Scottish Parliament a supermajority for independence. But just how much of the overall vote did the party poll in May's election? A, less than 2%. B, 20%. Or C, 10%. Adele, what do you think the answer is?
So what was it? The first one was 2%. Yeah.
Less than 2%. Yes.
Less than 2%. That one.
Less than 2%. Okay. Derek.
I'm also going to go for less than 2%. It was less than a stellar success.
Dan.
Yeah, I remember I did the first story when we did the polls on this. So it's less than 2%.
And Andy.
370 miles.
That wasn't even one of the answers.
I don't know. Yeah,
another bonus point for standing up to the quizmaster. Going his own way.
Nah, it was
no more.
It was definitely less than 2%. They were a blip.
A blip. Correct. The answer is A, less than 2%. Mr. Salmond's party won around 1.7% of the national vote. He did do a little better in the northeast where he lives, but still not anywhere near enough to win a seat. Ach well, Mr. Salmond, we will always have Caird Square. Bonus round. Or maybe question 9, depending. No, question 8. I've called this the bonus round question because I couldn't be bothered writing 10 questions. So I thought if I had a bonus round. But it's just question 8, since Chris is going to give us question 10 anyway. Who cares? Cut this all out. Who was the inaugural Stoosh of the Week for the latter half of 2020 and why?
Ooh.
Who remembers? Now, this isn't the very first Stoosh of the Week, but this is the inaugural Stoosh of the Week for the latter half of 2020. I'll give you a clue. He's quite a big hitter in the SNP.
Oh.
Dan.
Oh. Is
any,
it?
Any is memories?
It, go on, Adele. What are you going to say?
Is it Ian Blackford for the photograph for saying that a photographer shouldn't have come up to the Highlands, but he was actually living up there?
Oh, that's a great answer.
Ding. That's a good answer.
I was going to say that as well.
Adele. That's exactly what it was. Were you going to say that? Because you did. I do recall you passing the attempt over to Adele.
No, I was just being polite.
That's right. Blackford decided to tell people who lived in the north to go home, which was quite interesting and not at all worrying for any of the residents here, or indeed any English people coming up to spend their hard-earned money in Scottish tourism. We've got the bonus round, or as some people would like to call it, question 9. I've lost the plot a bit, but it's fine. Scottish comedian Janie Godley came to prominence this year for her voiceovers. Now, I'm going to take the first answer. I'm not going to give you all a chance.
I think I know this.
It's going to be fingers on buzzers first. So just shout your. I'm going to start the question again because I got overexcited. Shout your name out, and whoever shouts their own name out first gets the chance to answer. Okay, so Scottish comedian Janie Godley came to prominence this year. Let me finish the question. Chaos is ruining this. Right. Okay.
My competitive side's coming out.
Heavy lies the head that wears the crown, eh? Scottish comedian Janie Godley came to prominence this year for her voiceovers of the First Minister's briefings. In particular, she became known for her quote, "Get the door, Frank," or "Frank, get the door." I can't quite remember because I can't bring myself to watch them. But which multi-platinum fight-clubbing singer Adele. Did Miss Godley defame by calling yours truly by during one of these sessions?
Derek.
Adele.
Anyone?
Me.
Derek.
Adele.
What? I tried Adele. To sneak
what
in there.
What's the answer to this?
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
Oh.
Meatloaf is correct. For some reason, she decided to call me Meatloaf. I would do anything for love, but I wouldn't do that.
Did she? I didn't know that. Bloody hell.
That's not bad, is it? Yeah, did you not listen to that episode of the Sushi? David Clegg, I thought he was going to have a heart attack. He was laughing so much. Yeah, no, Janie Godley called me Meatloaf. It's quite funny, actually. My mother-in-law sent me it, and she keeps sending me it on WhatsApp. She's like, "Do you remember this?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah." Cheers, Stella. And then, of course, all my friend, they found it, but they used much, much harsher words. Meatloaf was seen as a bit of a compliment. Insight into my little sad life there. Great stuff, guys. Thank you so much. But I believe that producer Chris has one final question, and I'm going to join in on this as well. Thanks to the Snoops at Spotify, they're able to tell you what our listeners listen to when they're not listening to the Stooshy. Obviously, they're not listening to the Steamy by the Scotsman, but they do listen to bands. Take it away, Chris.
Yeah, bonus points available all round. And apart from Paul, you could all still win because Dan's on 6, Derek on 7, Andy on 7, and Adele is on 10 points. So there are 5 bonus points in this bonus round up for grabs. So what I want to know is, according to Spotify, what musical artists do the people who listen to the Stooshy also listen to? And I'll give you a point for everyone you can identify. Shout them out.
How many?
Ed Sheeran.
Taylor Swift.
Run DMC.
Meatloaf.
The Beatles.
The Beatles is one. Dan gets a point for
yes!
The Beatles.
Michael Jackson.
Oh, that's not fair. He's from Liverpool.
Rolling Oasis. Stones.
Not Michael Jackson.
The Proclaimers.
Yes.
Snow Patrol.
Dale gets another bonus point. None for Snow Patrol.
Oasis.
Enya.
Lady Gaga.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. Oh, Bob Dylan's yes.
Biffy Clyro.
No.
Jake.
Iggy Pop.
There's only
Madonna.
One
Slipknot.
So you've got the Proclaimers. You've got Adele to the Proclaimers. You've got David Bowie. You've got nobody said David Bowie yet.
David Bowie.
David Bowie.
Points yes. for everyone there. Dylan and the Beatles are on there. So there's one more to get.
Rolling Stones.
Yes, very good.
I already said that one.
I said Rolling Stones.
No, you didn't.
I said, outrageous. You check the official report.
I apologize, Andy,
said Rolling Stones very early on.
Andy gets a point.
I don't believe you.
At the end of that absolute chaos, Adele has come out as the person who, by the very scientific metric of the Stooshy...
It's the end of part of the quiz. It's the end of part of the quiz.
And so for that very important metric, Adele is the one who knows the most about Scottish politics. Well done, Adele.
Well done, Adele.
Congrats.
Well done, guys. Thanks for humouring me. Apologies to the Steamy. I'm sure it's a very good podcast. I was only pulling your legs, lads. It is the end of term. We will be back in some form or another very soon. Kudos to you guys as well for listening to such great bands. You've obviously got impeccable taste because you keep tuning in, week out, to the Stooshy, the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media. I've been Paul Malik. Thanks to Dale, Andy, Derek, Dan, and of course, producer Chris. We'll see you soon. Bye.
It's the end of Parliament.
The Stooshy is the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media, bringing together political journalists and commentators from all over the country so that you can be better briefed. Teams at The Courier, The Press and Journal, The Evening Telegraph, Evening Express and The Sunday Post work hard day and night, online, in print and beyond, to bring you careful reporting and analysis designed to help you understand the implications of what happens in Holyrood, in Westminster, and in our communities. So you don't miss an episode, follow The Stooshy today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you know folk like you who want to understand politics in Scotland a little better, suggest they tune into The Stooshy or follow Stooshy Scott on Twitter and Facebook. You can get a free month of unlimited access to The Courier or The Press and Journal too. Just go to thecourier.co.uk/subscribe or pressandjournal.co.uk/subscribe or follow the links in the episode notes to be better briefed. Check the episode notes for details and terms.